boys and girls. I think we're got everything all in shape. Fish and Frank in the chair here, and you know, been kind of nice weather. I mean, things kind of going from weird to good and bad to worse and better to good again. And good news is water temperature's down, oxygen levels up, lots of cool stuff going on. We've got Captain Kale joining me today for a fishing report. We're going to kind of get into that right now. So anyway, good morning, Kale.
Good morning.
So how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Now, were you in the water today?
Yeah, I'm in the water today.
Cool boat from what I saw a picture of. I didn't know if that was today or yesterday.
Very, very nice boat. Way out of my price range.
Oh, that had to be a $150,000 boat.
About 100.
Yeah, that about was 100. I mean, with the mini tower, the back tower, I mean, that thing had everything on it.
And one thing that I didn't tell you, it actually had flaps that covered the tunnel.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Why?
If you're out in deeper water and don't need the tunnel, it closes off and runs like a V-haul.
Really?
It's the darnest thing I've ever seen, and you feel it. You know when you run our skiffs across really shallow water, you feel them set down in the water?
Yeah.
That's what this thing would do when you close the flaps. It sat right down. And well, 70 mile an hour.
When you're in deep water, to me, the skiffs always run high and tight, or in shallow water. But you get out in deep water, and they kind of wallow around a little bit because that flat bottom just really isn't made for that deeper depth.
Right. But when you get real shallow, you know, just before it starts to hit,
right,
you feel it drop because there's no water underneath it to displace it.
Oh, I get what you're talking about.
Yeah, it sets down. And that's exactly what this thing did when you closed those flaps. And then before you went on the flats, you hit a button on the dash, it opened up the tunnel hull, you bring up the jack plate, and you're running through 2 inches of water.
Holy cow. Okay, so and do you remember what the name of it was?
New Water Boat Works. It was the New Water Ibis.
Yeah, I just saw a picture of it. It looks like a military assault craft.
Kind of. Take your boat, your flats and bay.
Right.
Cut it off 2 inches above the water.
Yeah.
And put a big flat deck on it.
Wow. And then where my back V is, make it a tunnel.
Make it a tunnel.
Wow.
Flat back tunnel. It's a really, really nice boat. The only worry that I had was walking off the darn thing because it's deck than water. There's
right.
No gunnel there. I'm used to a nice big 3-foot gunnel to lean my knees against, or at least, you know, that inch lip around the edge to tell your feet to stop.
Yeah.
But we stayed dry, so.
Yeah. Kind of like when I used to do iron work and I'd be up high, and, you know, when you're in the beam, it's not a problem. But you get into scaffolding, and when they overlay the planks, you have an inch and a half suicide fall that will, I mean, literally, I felt my heart stop several times because I'm 80 feet or 150 feet up on a scaffolding, and all of a sudden your heel drops.
Yeah.
And in that millisecond,
it's the end of the world.
Yeah,
it's the end of the world,
because it's only an inch and a half till your heel hits, but in that
right.
inch and a half,
it's
you fell 800
takes.
Feet.
Yep. Yeah, you've already pictured you splattered across the ground.
So I get it. All right, anyway, as far as fishing goes, now rain and cloud cover has been the story. What's it been, 2-3 weeks now?
Yeah, it's basically been 2 weeks since we. Well, 3 weeks since we got into that morning storm routine.
Right. Well, that front stalled up north of us and just kept turning everything back at us.
And you'd sit out there and you'd watch the radar and you'd see that little green spot coming in off the Gulf, and then it would hit South Gulf Cove and the west wall there.
Yeah, Cape Hayes,
and just blow up on you.
Right. Little tiny eighth of a mile across, little rain shower.
Little nothing. Yeah, little nothing.
Then it hit that warm water in the harbor
and
sucked it up, made it explode.
Yep.
And the bad news is it's been tough to get out and go fishing because there has been quite a bit of lightning in with these storms.
A lot of lightning, a lot of wind.
A lot of wind, a lot of lightning, so it's been tough to get out.
And we got the good end of it.
Yeah.
You know, we're not swimming in our streets like Tampa is. You know, we got the better part of it.
Yeah, but we got Charlie. They got off the hook. They were supposed to get Charlie, so they kind of deserve that waiting through the street stuff. Anyway, you know, to be, no, I don't feel sorry for you, Tampa. You had the better of the deal.
Yeah.
We had Charlie. You know, you were supposed to get it, so I'm sorry. This is the least you could do is take the flooding.
Yeah, take one for the team.
Yeah, take one for the West Coast, because I'm sorry. We don't deserve it. You deserve it.
This is true.
So, anyway.
This is the first nice day. We've had it a while. Beautiful, no clouds, no wind.
Went out the other morning, it was chilly.
Yeah.
It was chilly the other morning. I was like, oh my God, it's August and it's chilly out. My pocketbook is screaming. I mean, you know, feed me.
Yeah.
Because business has been way down because of the weather, but it's given us a chance to go through a lot of product lines. We just went through another one today, and we're buying tons of stuff. I know I'm not making any money, and I'm spending more than I normally spend. This is ridiculous, but that's what.
That's kind of the stressful part of the bait shop. You know, it's one or twice a year you've got to make a big purchase on stuff that you hope sells.
Yeah, we've got hundreds of thousands of products coming in. It's going to be an interesting year, but. Because we haven't had any business, and we have been blessed with these storms, it was a true blessing in disguise. Without these storms,
it was.
We needed it badly.
Yeah, we were already up to 90 degrees in the harbor.
Oh, I heard 98 and 99.
Yeah, you were seeing those big clods of decaying grass floating around out there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start seeing those, you know the water temperature is too high, and the fishing goes south.
And a lot of stuff's going to die. And so it was because of this bad business, bad weather, I am spending money like a drunken sailor because the fishing is going to be spectacular.
Yes, I wholeheartedly agree, and it's already taking a good swing today.
I was cutting my spending way back, because if this summer would have kept on like it was, I was worried we were going to lose too many fish.
Right.
And the fishing would be lousy this year. Going into season, we would have less fish. Everything was going to go on the downturn. But
and it's a legitimate worry, especially with the amount of wintertime fish that are already here.
Right.
You know, lots of trout out here, sheephead out there. And they can't handle that either. So you're going for wintertime stock, too.
We're going to lose too many fish, but with this 15s and 20 degree drops in water temperatures, this was the grace period, because it's slow now anyway. Let's face it, it's too hot to go fishing. You know, this is a good time of year to, you know, relax, watch a rerun of a football game. You know, people were smart when football season came on. They would just record the games.
Right.
And because it's beautiful. You go fishing every day.
And watch them when they get home.
Then watch them in the summertime when it's hot.
Yeah.
You know, have a few beers, watch the game, enjoy the hell out of it, and because there's nothing else to do.
Right.
So, but anyway, that's just the way I do stuff. I've got a bunch of stuff recorded this time of year. I go, but at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you find me with my feet up.
You think it might work. I mean, it's been something that has been working for years.
Okay.
And other tackle shops sprout out and go away, sprout up and go away, sprout up and go away. So maybe your method works.
So the fact that I'm clinically insane and have had radiation treatments to my brain. And
you have a bait shop. You've already qualified for clinically insane.
Okay. So now, getting to the fishing report, we're way into this. We've been goofing off. Sorry about that, guys. But the truth of the matter is, it's this whole thing is just really going good. And what are you seeing in the fishing out there?
I'm seeing a really good uptake in the redfish. And we've been screaming, where's the redfish? Where's the redfish? Where's the redfish? And they're starting to come alive now. They're coming out to the border islands on the east side. There are lots of them along the west side.
Now let's stay on the east side for just a second.
Okay.
The redfish. Now, I'm hearing kind of varied stories from a lot of fish early in the morning out by the bar moving up under the trees in the afternoon, and some of them staying out or not. What are you seeing on as far as the movement of the
redfish? A little bit of both. We were seeing good redfish out on the bar early in the morning because we were in a high tide cycle early in the morning, and now we're at a low tide, outgoing tide cycle now in the mornings, so you're going to see them probably around the trees later in the afternoon. So you're seeing a little bit of both.
Okay.
Now, a lot of your bigger redfish are staying out on the flats.
All right. Well, that's good information. Now, what kind of baits are you using for them? What, are you using live lures? What are you
using? I've been using live bait. Today's trip was really, really cool because it's something I don't get to do. This guy knows how to fish, but it was an educational trip. He knows how to fish. Well, I can get white bait and catch fish. Any idiot can do that. Yeah, pretty much. And he says, I've never really used artificials. I want to do nothing but throw artificials today. And that's what we did. Just artificials. And that's what he wants to concentrate and work on for the next 6 months.
So let's break this down. When you're, what were you teaching today? What lures? Let's start. What was your first pick to go to?
The first pick, I went with a gold rattle trap. He went with, I recommended that he throw DOA Terror Eyes. We were up inside Pirate Harbor after the juvenile tarpon.
Gotcha.
You think he jumped one, and that was all that really happened. They were in there rolling, but they were rolling really lazy, one here, one there, so they weren't that active.
You're using the Tiny Terror or the smaller, the mid-size?
The mid-size. Mid-size.
That's the one Austin thinks.
It's a tarpon magnet. It really is.
Yeah, the DOA Terrorize has been proven in the Keys and is now proving itself up here in Charlotte Harbor.
Yep.
I think what we're going to have to do is get the big ones and try them out in the middle of the harbor.
Absolutely. I don't see any reason not to try that.
I'm thinking that's where we're going to go next year in tarpon season. I'm going to go a little heavy on the larger Terrorize because the small ones have proved, even the Tiny Terrors, they've been the number one. And
yeah.
Except the hooks don't hold up.
Right.
You've got to back your drag down so much. But that mid-size and second, you got the smallest and the next one up and then the next one up.
Yeah.
The one is too big. That's that middle size, the second.
Right.
Second smallest one,
which
not the smallest.
I don't see why it wouldn't work. It's very similar to the Bait Buster, which is already proven. So.
Well, the Bait Buster's got that tail on it.
It does. But for some odd reason, the Terror Eyes work. You know, the smaller ones work on your smaller tarpon. Why wouldn't the big ones work on the big tarpon?
Yeah. So we're going to try that. So you went canal fishing for tarpon first thing in the morning. He did jump one, so that's a good thing. No bumps in the rattle trap, huh?
Nothing.
Really?
Nothing, which was really strange.
Yeah, rattle trap is proven. The quarter ounce rattle trap and the tiny trap have proven themselves over the last years as staple on canal tarpon.
I think it was too much fiber. I didn't have the small one. I think that's where I went wrong.
You had a half ounce.
I had a half ounce.
You got to have a quarter. They won't hit the half.
Well, I've been catching.
But it's not as good as the quarter.
And that's what I think it was. There's so many glass minnows inside Pirate Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at a very high-pitched vibration that these fish are used to feeding on.
Yeah.
It was just too low pitch. And
the half ounce to me, I just, if I'm going canal tarpon, I use the tiny trap, the little itty bitty crappie size.
Yeah.
My second choice, my first choice always quarter ounce.
Yeah.
Quarter ounce seems has just the right size and sound for them. When they're not hitting that, then I switch down to the little tiny trap.
Just a step too big.
Yeah. I'm sure that's what it was because I found it out. It was back in like 91, maybe 90. 91, I think I started throwing rattle traps on tarpon because I didn't know any better. I didn't know they weren't a tarpon lure. You know, I was still only a few years into the fishing. And
why are you throwing a bass lure at them?
Right. Why am I throwing a bass lure? Because I'm an idiot. But I found it out back then. And we've been reluctant to, teach people how to do the little tarpon because even the best you can do on catch and release mortality is still 5%.
Right.
So, you know, we tried not to, but it's become a big thing, and I'm feeling more confident with the anglers nowadays than I used to be for as far as taking care of the fish, handling the fish.
Everybody's much more conservation-minded nowadays.
And years ago, it was more about, look what I caught, throw it in a bucket, take it home, show the wife.
Yep.
But it's my confidence in the more modern angler that has prompted me to start teaching more of these small canal tarpon tricks.
Yeah, and they're fun. They're a lot more fun than the big ones. The big ones are work.
No,
the little ones are fun.
If you haven't caught tarpon, you got to go out, catch a few big ones, get your butt royally kicked. I mean, there's nothing as good as just being there half dead on the deck.
Go do it.
You know, I mean, every muscle in your body hurts. You've pulled your back out. You're strained.
I love watching other people catch it.
And, but, I mean, after the first year or so, then you kind of move on to the canal tarpon with the light tackle because, A, it's challenging. And, but, B, you get the jumps and the spectacular thing without getting your butt kicked.
Right, right. They're a lot less picky. They'll eat better.
Right. But if you're listening to us in Canada, Minnesota, or Ohio, or New York, or whatever, and you have not caught tarpon, yes, the little ones are fun, but you got to go out and just get your
it's like
get yourself wrecked one
it's
time.
It's like catching a 50-pound smallmouth.
Yeah. Well, like catching a 150-pound smallmouth.
But after the canals kind of wound down, we went out to a little deep hole outside of Pirate Harbor that I like to frequent. I switched, of course, to the 17MR.
What color are you using?
The gold broken glass.
Okay.
That's the only color I use.
So we got a MR17BGB.
Right.
So,
right.
GBG. GBG, yeah. Gold broken glass, sorry. Now, when you get out there, what'd you give him?
He started out on the Terrorize. He wanted to keep throwing that. Then I switched him over to a gold spoon. Just
yeah,
so he could
say,
learn
the
how
Terrorize,
to run the spoon.
It would not be my first choice for out there in the flats.
It worked.
Yeah?
It worked. Once we switched him to the gold spoon, he got a couple bumps. I was catching everything under the sun with a 17MR. Trout, big pinfish, snapper, ladyfish. We had all kinds of stuff in there. And then we went to... I switched over to topwater, mirror lure. Wasn't a whole lot of grass out there, so I could actually work the darn thing. Had a couple blow-ups on it, nothing solid. And he had the... it's the gold broken glass side with the red top and the gold bottom.
Yep.
And he did pretty well on that, some trout, some...
In the 17.
Fish. Yeah, the 17 mm-hmm. MR.
So, how did you explain to him to work it? I know you showed him, but if you were going to tell somebody, that 17MR is an excellent lure, but it's not a beginner lure. If you throw it out and reel it in, it's coming back like a straight stick in the water.
Right. I didn't show him with that. The only one that I really showed him was the gold spoon, just to make sure it's not spinning and his retrieve speed is right and how to work the top dog.
All right. Now, what'd you tell him about the gold spoon?
To keep your retrieve speed slow, you're not looking for that rotating motion. You're looking for that nice slow flutter through the water.
What Kale's trying to say is when you're reeling in a gold spoon, if you look and you're reeling it and you see it, you know, just rolling over and over and over, you're going fast. The head of the spoon should stay still and the back of the spoon should flutter back and forth.
Right.
It's kind of a wobbling. It goes from left to right in a half circle type motion. But as soon as it starts doing a complete 360, you want it to do a 180. You want it to go from 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, 9 o'clock to 3 o'clock, but on the bottom mark. So 9, 6, 3, 3, 6, 9. But as soon as you start getting the full clock on it, now you're going a little fast. If you slow down, you're going to catch more fish.
With a 17MR, I kind of turned him loose. You know, there's fish out there. If you're not catching them, you're doing something wrong with that lure. Change it. Slow it down. Speed it up. Change how many times you twitch it.
But the whole thing, the key to mirror lure is the twitching.
Right.
If you're
right.
not twitching it,
you have
if you're
to twitch
pulling it.
It, you have to twitch it.
If you're just reeling it or you're even jerking, pulling it, it's not going to work. And a twitch is a little 4 to 6 inch motion of the tip, not a 1 to 2 foot jerk of the tip.
Right. You're not accomplishing anything when you're giving it a slow pull. It's a nice, quick slap. That's what you're looking for
short
out of that.
And sharp.
Do it at the side of the boat. You want to see that thing twitch and jerk and move over a foot when you do that.
You want a lot of movement to the lure with as little forward motion as possible.
Right.
The more you can make that thing dance around in one spot,
the longer you're in the strike zone.
Yeah. So you don't want it to come back to you any more than it has to while you're twitching it. You want to get some side darting, up darting, down darting. And the more it darts around, the better off, the more fish you're going to get.
The only thing that I really had him watch with me with a 17MR is we're casting about the same distance. We should be pulling that thing out of the water at about the same time. That way you know you've got your retrieve speed right. But as far as your twitching goes, you've kind of got to feel that out. And I still go out there every day and feel it out. Sometimes those trout, one twitch, reel. One twitch, reel. One twitch, reel. And they'll destroy it. Today, it was kind of a two and three twitch. Twitch, 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 reel. Twitch, twitch, reel. Twitch, 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 reel. Twitch. You had to really stagger it to make them want it.
Yeah. Now, that's one of the things that I used to... The worst person to have on a charter was a fishing a guy who went fishing once 15 or 20 years before and caught a fish doing something one way.
Right, because that's the way he's going to do it from now until the end of time.
Yeah, because he only gets to fish once in a while, so he knew what he did to catch fish
right.
that time.
And that
so
might have worked on that one cross-eyed walleye.
One time. The hard part about it is getting somebody... it's easier to teach a person who's never fished or a person who fishes a lot. Because if you've never fished, you want to learn how to do this.
And listen.
And if you fish a lot, you understand that each time you go, there might be a subtle difference in what it takes to make that fish interested.
Well, and it can also go bad if they fish a lot. And they could have a whole ton of bad habits they need to break. I've seen that go both ways.
Well, I'm trying to stay on the positive side of things. I've been such a negative person over the last few months. I mean, I've just had such a bad attitude. I've been grouchy and grumpy and just, you know, I'm trying to become more positive. I want to hear more happy unicorns and stuff.
Well, good, because I was getting ready to throw Snickers bars at you.
You know, yeah. So, I've tried to be more positive. Okay.
I enjoy it because... It's not every day that you get somebody that knows how to fish, but wants to learn something different.
And that's the key. That's what I'm talking about. The guys who actually really are into it to understand there's a difference, sometimes by the day, sometimes by the hour.
Yeah.
And
that's what he wanted. He said, you know, we're going to go out once a month for the next 6 months and do something different every time. And that's what we'll do. Next month, we're going to go throw artificials at big redfish and tarpon.
Yeah, we're getting right there to the point. Okay, because we said this was going to be a fishing report, let's go over where have some of the fish been?
Snook are everywhere. This harbor is just flat full of snook.
For those of you who don't get what he means, is the west coast of Florida. Now, we're talking from basically the 10,000 islands up to Venice. Catches and releases over 1 million snook a year.
Yeah.
That's a pretty close guesstimate.
And I wouldn't doubt if that has doubled this year. There's been so many snook. I can't even tell you how many snook that we've caught in the last 5 months. It's just an incredible amount.
If you want to look at a captain and see if he's catching a lot of snook or not, boys and girls, this is simple. When you walk up to the captain, say, how's the snook fishing been? And to see if he's telling the truth, look at his thumbs.
Yes, if he has any thumbprints left, he's lying.
Yeah, if his thumbs have cracks, a little bit of blood on them, and they look like somebody's taken a wood rasp to his thumbs, he's catching a lot of snook. If his thumbs are in good shape and he's, you know, he looks like he stepped out of an office somewhere. Now, this is in particular to the thumb because that's where you grab the snook.
Right.
And when he reaches out to shake your hand, just stop, turn his hand to the side, look at his thumb, and if it's not just tore up, he ain't catching snook.
Yeah, exactly.
This is just simple as that. You know, there is one caveat to that. You could say, do you use a boga grip on your fish?
Right.
And if he does, or a fish lip grip of some kind, he might be telling the truth. But most captains grab the snook by the lower jaw, and their thumb is destroyed.
Yep.
Most often bleeding, but at least cracked and tore up.
Redfish are doing much, much better. The big ones are starting to come in already.
Can you imagine? There's going to be all these guys out there going, yeah, I'd like to take a charter with you. Can you
show me your thumb?
Take a quick picture of your right thumb and
I don't want to see your license. I don't want to see your insurance. I don't want to see your fishing license. Show me your thumb.
Yeah. Take a quick picture of your thumb and message it to me, will you?
Yep.
just had this picture in my mind, you know.
You start a new trend.
But I can tell you, if you're smart, I would do that.
You're going to have guys with wood rasps on their thumb.
Yeah, sanding and filing off the fingerprints on their thumbs.
We're not criminals with false advertising. Wow.
I just had this picture in my mind of all these people calling up the cap and saying, yeah, snap a quick picture of your thumb and send it to me, will you?
But redfish are doing much better. The big ones, they're starting to hang out in your expected spots, you know, out in front of Boquilla.
But it's too early.
Turtle Bay Bar. No,
we're
it's
a month
not
early.
Too early. No,
we're a month early.
I don't think so. I think it's seeming...
October, November, red October. It's easy to remember.
Well, the breeding period goes from the full moon in August to the full moon in October. They seem early because our full moons have been falling on the first of the month.
And we had two of them this month.
So. Yeah. So and it was kind of up in the air. Were they going to come this month? Were they going to wait till next month? What were they going to do? But they did come in.
I got to get it out of my system. Bow, 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 did a dang, did a dang, ring, ding, ding, blue moon, blue, 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 dip, 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 dip.
But it,
I'm better now.
They're showing up in your normal spots. The bays or the bars out in front of Turtle and Bull Bay, Boquilla. There's been a school moving around the east side from Cormorant Key up to Alligator Creek in that area. So there's not big in numbers yet, but they're on their way.
Yeah, good.
Okay. Tarpon seem to be everywhere. All the holes in the harbor are holding tarpon. All the canals. And you just pick a canal and go down it. And there's so many juvenile tarpon inside the canals right now. It isn't even, I've never seen them so thick.
That's so what I'm hearing. It's amazing.
Sharks are kind of up in the air. I don't know what they've done.
We didn't see this new gaff I just bought.
Really?
Yeah, it collapses way down, but extends out to a little over 2 feet. But it collapses down to less than half its size.
Really?
And it's got a little scale on it.
Is it strong?
I hope so. I was going through, I was
going to expanding gaff is great. But I don't want to give a cobia that much leverage on something that's strong.
Well, I'm hoping it is. I'm hoping it is. It looks good, and the company's a good company. We're switching a lot of our stuff over to Baker this year. One of the companies that we've been doing a lot of business with over the years was sold, and the new owners don't seem to really care about keeping the products up. They have another company, and they bought this company out. And so we've been having a harder time getting the products, and so we're switching over to Baker. We bought Baker Lures, some really cool stuff.
We've always had the Baker hookouts.
Yeah,
so.
Baker hookouts are a staple in the tackle business. And what's cool is they were in, and I was showing them how to improve their product, and they actually listened. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's going to be...
See, that for me, that's a big leap right there. It really is. You're going to get my business from now on because you... pulled your head out of your keister and listened to the people that use your products.
Well, the thing is we, you know, we deal with more fishermen than pretty much anybody, and we understand what it takes. And I hate selling something I can look at the customer and go, "It's okay."
Exactly.
It's inexpensive.
You, novices all the way up to professionals. So,
but I can't lie. I cannot tell somebody something is good if I don't believe it is.
Right.
If it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, how can you look at somebody and say that?
Yeah.
It's.
But we are a great testing field for anybody's products because we have a wide range of fish, a wide range of anglers, and if it doesn't hold up, we're going to know about it.
So I'm excited about the little gaff because I think you're going to love it because it stows away small and actually extends out where you can get a little bit of a reach. It's going to be great to have on a flats boat.
Yeah, where you don't have that storage available for a big gaff. You know, don't have 10,000 rod holders.
You know, and if you get a 30, 40-pound cobia, I think it's going to hold that fine. You know, just judging from what I saw of it and everything. Hopefully it's going to do good. But anyway, speaking of cobia, anything?
They have been quiet lately, and I don't know
why. Is that uncommon this time of year? I mean, you're a cobia freak.
And that's the thing. It's hard to judge because we didn't have the rain this time of year last year that we did. Did the rain push the bait out? Doesn't seem so. It has pushed some out, but not as much as I expected.
I'm not sure, but cobia might be one of the fish that's more susceptible to fresh water. They are deep water fish, and a Gulf fish, an Atlantic fish, Pacific fish.
I don't know. Now, how often do you catch a cobia above the 41 bridge?
Rarely.
So they could.
One of the good flats for cobia, believe it or not, between 41 and I-75. You know where the housing development is on the south side?
Yes.
Where that canal was cut through, that little deep channel.
Emerald Point.
Yeah. The mouth of Emerald Point was always a staple for me for cobia fishing.
Yep.
But it was more of a wintertime thing.
Right.
More cooler water. I remember going there more when it was cooler. Yeah, that would be less salt. Yeah. Or more salt, rather.
I don't think water temperature hurts them. I mean, these things circumnavigate the globe.
Yeah, they go everywhere. So
salinity, I could see that being one of their crutches.
That was my thought, because they are such an ocean Gulf fish that maybe the fresh water pushes them out. It does not seem to affect most of the fish very much at all, if any.
No, it usually hits the bait.
Yeah.
And the fish follow the bait. You know, you'll start seeing the Spanish mackerel probably moving down. You'll see some of the tarpon. The tarpon kind of won't care. I mean, they're going to follow the glass minnows more than anything.
Tarpon don't care freshwater or saltwater.
No, but their food does.
Yeah, their food does.
And if there's no food, they're going to follow it.
So, anyway, what day is today? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
All right. I haven't taken a day off. I've been trying to just come in a little late and leave a little early as a day's off. But I haven't had a day off in the last few weeks. So it just all blurs. But I was trying to think of what's your call for the weekend?
If our weather stays cooperative, which it's supposed to do, sky's the limit. Plenty of white bait along the east side. The bar is full of it from probably Burnt Store to Alligator Creek. So there's plenty of fish food for you to go get and throw at fish. I think there's going to be plenty of fish to eat it, both inside the bar, in the mangroves, and out in the deeper water.
Shrimp are getting a little bit better.
Shrimp are starting to get better.
Four times this week we've had selects and with a few handpicks, not enough to post that we have them. I mean, we're talking a couple of dozen in a thousand.
Yeah, but pretty good for this time of year.
Yeah, there's been a dramatic increase in the last week or so over the size of shrimp, so shrimp's getting a little bigger size. I'm hoping by September 1st we're going to have a really good shrimp season. I think this fresh water has kind of pushed a lot of them out of the marshes, got them moving out,
getting them
laying eggs so that, you know, all this stuff is going to continue. So,
I mean, if I had to just go fishing for myself this weekend, I would probably go get a live well full of good-sized white bait and sit out probably around Boquilla.
Now, are you going quarter inch or 3/8 on your mesh?
I've been throwing a quarter inch.
Yeah.
And it's not because of size, it's because I'm getting them in a foot of water, so why do a 3/8?
Yeah, why gill them if you don't have to?
Yeah, just throw the quarter inch. It's going to sink plenty fast in a foot of water.
And keep in mind, just because there's a lot of bait now doesn't mean there'll be a lot of bait later. So
right.
If you're using that, if you've got a 3/8, try and get yourself a quarter. I know it's a lot of money, but every two bait fish you let go is thousands more that could be there next year.
Right, right.
Every time you let a boy and a girl go, they get together and
they make more fishies.
Yeah, and they'll make at least 500 more fish for you to catch and use as bait the next year.
But
don't wait till you get to the ramp. When you're done fishing, get rid of them. Keep a half a dozen just in case you want to throw something in the ramp. But no more than a half a dozen. Yep. Let everything else go when you're done fishing.
There's no reason really to throw at marker two anymore because it's all big, big bait. Now, if you want big, big bait, yeah, go to marker two, throw your quarter, throw your 3/8 net.
And yeah,
if it's a good quality net, it's going to sink fast enough to get them.
What's there?
There's been some big threadies and some big greenbacks. Now, granted, that was before the rain.
No,
I don't know if they're still there. Been a lot of sugar trout in there. A lot of sugar trout. If you really want sugar trout, get your sabiki rig out and hit the upper hole.
Really?
Just drift across. Yeah, the 20-foot hole. Drift across it. Get that.
Our new sabiki rods.
I was asking about those.
They're in Miami. I'm trying to get them to clear customs.
Come on, baby.
Yeah, well, I'm filling out the customs paperwork now, so within a week we should have our new Sabiki rods.
Good, because I've probably got 30 Sabiki rigs in a knot on my garage floor.
Yeah, $49.95 retail.
Awesome.
Beautiful spinning setups, we hope. I will let you know as soon as I open the boxes, which I will probably do as soon as I pull them out of customs. Hoping if they followed my specifications, it's a great rod. For less money, you can buy them anywhere. And yeah, it's set up for what we do with light spinning tackle.
And that's, you know, what we need. You know, a lot of people shy at a Sabiki rod, but it is so much easier to use and deal with.
And this is an 8-foot, two-piece 8-foot.
Nice.
Because 7-foot, a lot of times Sabiki hangs out the end of it. And the whole idea is I don't want to have to cut the Sabiki to get it to fit in that stupid 7-foot rod. I know 7-foot rod is more comfortable, fits better, but an 8-foot Sabiki rod is what you need.
Right. Yeah, and if you really want to know if you need a Sabiki rod, rig up a Sabiki rig. Don't use it. Just rig it. Put it on a spinning rod. Set it in the rod holders on the side of your center console and make 30 trips to the back of your boat for bait.
Yeah.
And watch how quick you go by a Sabiki rod.
Yeah. You're just, your clothes are full of the hooks.
Yep.
You know, they're just in everything. And then you say, well, I'm just going to roll it up. I'm going to put it around a leader keeper and roll it up. And then try and get it back out.
No.
Yeah.
You know, and...
But Sabikis are cheap, you know, but, you know, if you go out fishing 30 times a year, you've got $60 in Sabikis or $80
in Sabikis. I mean, you're going to take, this time of year, you've got to take two or three.
Yeah, because of the mackerel and the
little
sugar
China,
trout.
That
and
little Chinese guy on the bottom.
Yeah.
Zing Pao.
Zing Pao. Okay.
He's eating so many Sabiki rigs, it isn't funny.
Oh, God. All right. So,
that's the way it works. You drop that Sabiki rig down, you catch a couple pieces of bait, drop it down, you catch a couple more, you've got just as much money as you want, you drop it down one more time, and then zing pow, it's gone. Because you grabbed a Spanish mackerel or a Jack Crevalle or something silly, or a catfish.
Or a catfish or a tarpon or a...
Yeah.
Everything, you'll eat them.
So, but yeah, the 20-foot hole has been just absolutely packed full of sugar trout and silver trout. Mm-hmm. So you're getting the best of both worlds there.
I'm hoping to get some golf reports. I know it's impossible at this point because it's just been too rough out there.
Yeah.
Too dangerous, too rough.
Yeah.
You know, if you went out in the golf in the last, you know, couple weeks, you're just literally taking your life in your
hands. Yeah, you're either crazy or you have a very big boat.
Ex-NFL guy.
Yeah, or you're in the NFL, one or the other. It's been nothing but a steady 10 to 20 mile an hour west wind for the last 3 weeks.
And that's rough because those waves build up way offshore. Even the beach reports, we've been hurting on guys. But
it might even still be rough out there. We've only had 2 days of calm, so there's probably still some good lump out there.
Yeah. So, anyway, hopefully that's all going to change. Anything else we should go over?
No, not that I can think of.
All right.
How about you?
Just to point to the fact, I'm fishing Frank. And we're fishing for Frank's Bait and Tackle, as you know, because you went on our website to hear this.
Right.
Or you're on Mixar or one of the other podcast things this show's broadcast on. Captain Kill, your phone number for all those internet challenge
people? Hey, it's 941-916-4538.
916-4538. 941-916-4538. Now, Captain Kale, you can hire him to take you fishing in his boat. He's got plenty of room for 6 anglers on the boat.
Yep.
And it's huge. He can fit his kids, grandkids, the playpen, dogs, and everything in there. So, you know, a lot of room there. Or you can hire Kale to go with you on your boat, show you where to go, what to do, and it saves you money because you're not paying for his boat. But this is Fishing Frank, and this is Radio Fishing, Fishing Frank's production, and we thank you guys for listening. And we'll catch you on the next one. Say goodbye, Kale.
Goodbye, Kale.